How would you like to be remembered for your mistakes? One bad decision, a moment of foolishness, or a time when you got it wrong. That's the case with the man we're going to consider today, Thomas, or, as he is often called, Doubting Thomas. Today, let's consider the day Thomas went missing. We read in the book of John, chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Today we're going to talk about Thomas. That's the person in our passage. Now Thomas, it's a Hebrew name meaning twin. You'll notice John called him by the name of Didymus. This is the Greek version of Thomas, and it also means twin. Some believe this indicates that he was a twin. Now that's possible, but not verifiable. Some also believe he was a fisherman because he joined the others when they returned to fishing in the book of John in chapter 21. The first three Gospels only tell us that Thomas was an apostle. They are silent on his personal life and ministry. John is the one that tells us the most about this man. It's almost as if John looked around at the Christians of a new generation and said, Let me tell you about a man just like you. His name was Thomas. And that brings us to the problem today. Although the event in John, which we've just read, occurred after Christ arose, the problem with Thomas was seen before Christ was crucified. Let's go back to the 11th chapter of John and read in verse 16. There we find Thomas saying this, Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now this event occurred near the end of Jesus Christ's ministry. And we find here that Thomas was pessimistic. Pessimistic. You see, Christ's life was threatened at this time. And the apostles feared for his safety. Bethany was a few miles from Jerusalem. And Christ would certainly find trouble there. But he was determined to go. That brings us to what Thomas said. Basically, Thomas said, If Christ goes, then I will go too. Notice, Thomas said that he was willing to die with him. Not for him, but with him. Thomas is not referring to the crucifixion, but to Christ being slain in defeat at Jerusalem. He definitely saw the glass as being half empty. If Jesus goes to Jerusalem, then he's going to die. Or at least that's what Thomas was thinking. You'll notice in that same passage, we find Thomas being very passionate. He was willing to die for what he believed in, with Christ. If Christ died, he would too. Thomas did not want to continue without his Savior. And even though Thomas was discouraged, he never lost his devotion to God. That brings us next to his persistence, which we find in the book of John, chapter 14. Beginning in verse 1, it says here, Jesus speaking, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" It was made very clear to these men, Thomas included, that Jesus Christ would be crucified, and he would live again. Jesus would return for them, and they would live with him as well, forever. But Thomas just did not get it. He was ignorant to this spiritual truth, even though he had been taught. So, we find that Thomas contradicted Jesus Christ here. He was told the way, but he was willfully ignorant. And he also criticized Jesus Christ. His question claimed Christ was untrue. How could they know the way? So we find Thomas persisting in ignorance. Christ had told him the way, and he still asked for directions. That brings us to the next thought, which is Thomas was presumptuous. You will notice in the passage we've just read, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, that Thomas used the word "we" in his question. It seems Thomas included the others, whether they wanted to be included or not. I guess he figured that since he did not understand, nobody else did either. Presumption often produces more problems. Next, we find Thomas was persuasive. Same passage. Whether Thomas meant to or not, he set off a string of doubtful comments. Philip and Judas, not Iscariot, both followed up on Thomas's doubts. So, he discouraged others instead of encouraging them. Let's be a blessing to others, not a burden. The next thought we have with Thomas is that he was proud. And that brings us back to the passage which we read at the very beginning, John chapter 20. Verses 19 through 25. Now keep in mind, pride exalts self over others, and it results in selfish behavior. We find in this passage that Thomas abandoned the others. Where was Thomas? That's anybody's guess. The Bible is silent on his whereabouts. Perhaps he was dealing with personal business. Maybe he chose to grieve alone. It's possible he was afraid to be caught meeting with the others. Or he simply did not want to be there. Now, I don't believe Thomas was somewhere living in sin. I think Jesus Christ would have reprimanded him for that. Thomas was simply not there. It seems he chose to live selfishly instead of for Christ or to encourage the others. We also find that Thomas refused to believe the others. Why is this? They were faithful and good men. They were apostles like him. It's as if Thomas could not believe the Lord would appear without him being there. He did not believe it was possible he could miss out on a blessing. But he did, so he had to wait a week to be blessed. We also find in the same passage here that Thomas was very practical. Very practical. This man refused to believe unless he could see and touch Christ for himself. Notice his statement in verse 25. I will not believe. Nope. Sorry, guys. I'm not buying it. He would not believe unless he was able to put his fingers in the wounds. It seems Thomas greatly exaggerated because he doubted their testimony. He demanded more than enough proof. You know, two thoughts on this. First, his faith was missing. At this point, Thomas is walking by sight instead of faith. And the second thought is, foolishness took over. Everything Thomas witnessed Christ do was thrown out the window. Think of all those miracles. Consider all the teachings Christ offered. Thomas forsook all those. Thomas's attitude was this: I will believe what I see instead of what Christ taught. That brings us to some practical thoughts. I would like to show you some of the blessings that Thomas missed. First, he missed out on peace. He missed out on peace. The Bible tells us that Christ's disciples were meeting in fear behind closed doors. Keep in mind, their world had been turned upside down. Jesus Christ, the man they had forsaken all to follow, had been slain, and they themselves were probably threatened. When Christ suddenly appeared, I'm sure all were shocked and surprised. Jesus immediately encouraged them with words of peace. There was no need to worry, fret, or fear. Why? Because Jesus was with them. All was fine. Everything would be okay. The presence of God in the heart provides incredible peace. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's perfect peace. And that only comes from God. Peace that calms the heart in the midst of any trial or trouble. Thomas missed out on this. Second, he missed out on proof. On proof. Evidence. Jesus showed them his hands and feet. Proof of his identity. Evidently, all of the apostles had doubts like Thomas. They stubbornly refused to believe the resurrected Christ stood before them. They looked upon him and saw where he had been pierced with the nails. Apparently, those wounds will remain with him for eternity. They will be a constant reminder of the atonement for sin. On that day, for those men, it was evidence that their salvation was complete, their souls eternally secure. But Thomas missed out on this. Third, we have pleasure. Pleasure. Bible tells us that the disciples were glad. Their hearts were filled with joy. Smiles came across their face. Joyous laughter and praise probably filled the room. Who knows? Maybe some even sang songs of praise. This was their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was alive, and He was fine. They could rejoice because Jesus had conquered death and the grave. Thomas missed out on this. Fourth, the purpose. The purpose. Jesus Christ provided instruction for these men. More teaching. He would send them into the world. They would be sent like He was sent from the Father. And they would be lights in a world of darkness. Their work was incomplete. They had much to do. There were many that needed to hear the good news of salvation found only in Jesus Christ. Repent and believe and be saved. All that these men had witnessed and learned was not in vain. It was time to apply it. Thomas missed out on this. And then finally, power. Power. Jesus provided the Holy Ghost, the power required to go into the world, and the power to see souls saved. The Spirit came that day upon those that were assembled. This explains why these men were able to understand the teachings that occurred. On this day, the Spirit indwelled them. And from this point on, every individual that is converted receives the Holy Ghost. Jesus also gave them power and authority to pronounce salvation. Let me explain this. They were not only to take the gospel out, but to pronounce those that received it as being saved. In other words, they could boldly proclaim that whosoever would repent and believe on Jesus Christ, their sins would be forgiven. Now, they were not given power to save, but the authority to pronounce salvation upon those that trusted in Christ. Nowhere in the Scriptures do we find any man forgiving sin. That power belongs to God alone. Jesus gave equally unto them all. There was no hierarchy established on that day. They were all to go out into the world under the direction of the Holy Ghost. But Thomas missed out on this. I do want to point something out in the book of John, chapter 20. We'll read here beginning in verse 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. In the end, Thomas was pardoned and forgiven. Yes, Thomas was selfish and a little bit stubborn, but he also belonged to God. Jesus willingly forgave his sin and his weaknesses. We find that our Lord and Savior waited as Thomas slowly moved along. And in the end, Thomas got where he was supposed to be. Yes, it took Thomas a while, but his patient and loving Savior ensured that Thomas got it right. Jesus worked through Thomas to bless the world. It's because of Thomas we have two of Jesus Christ's greatest statements. First, in John 14, verse 6, answering Thomas's question, Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then second, in John chapter 20 and verse 29, Jesus saith unto Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." In conclusion, here's the thing with Thomas. He's interesting because, whether we admit it or not, there is probably a little bit of Thomas in each of us. Times when we are pessimistic, passionate, persistent, presumptuous, persuasive, proud, and practical. Because of this, there will be moments we struggle with faith. And times, like Thomas, when we will not be where we are supposed to be. Blessings will be missed and opportunities lost. This reminds us that we have a risen Savior that loves us and cares for us. He forgives, and He will never forsake, but work to bless us, because the Lord Jesus Christ excels at working through weakness, as He did with Thomas.